Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to those who will be hearing with us later. I have a message today called Love Your Neighbor as Yourself. And as we're looking toward the Philadelphia experiment, the very word Philadelphia means brotherly love. And the only way, the absolute only way that communal life, kibbutz life can work is if we love our neighbor as ourself. But I don't know if people really have delved into this and understand it completely. And that's what I really want to go into today, what this really means to love your neighbor as yourself in the world that we live in. So I want to start in Matthew 22 and verse 35. Matthew 22 and verse 35, it says, "And one of them, a lawyer, questioned him, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the Torah?' And Yeshua said to him, 'You shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbors yourself. On these two commandments, all the Torah and the prophet hang.'" So, you know, a lot of times in Judaism, they'll say, you know, that a lot of the things in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, are things that were made up, you know, by Christians or Gentiles or whatever. But actually, many of the things in the Brit Hadashah, if not the majority of them, actually come from not only the Torah, but also from Judaism as a whole. Even the Beatitudes. We got a message online on the Beatitudes. You look in the Dead Sea Scrolls, you see almost exactly word for word of the Sermon on the Mount that Yeshua gave with the Beatitudes that they had. So in Leviticus 19 and verse 18, Leviticus 19, 18 says, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh." So this isn't some kind of syrupy type Christian command. This is actually the very basis for human beings, as we're going to see. It's the very basis of mankind, of loving our neighbor as ourself. It's the very basis for overcoming the transformation to the new man. Because unless you get your mind off yourself and, you know, your mind is on loving your neighbor, you'll never transform into anything. You know, you'll get self-righteous. You'll think that you're doing things and actually you're not. And we have to remember that, originally, Israel that became a nation, you know, the nation of Israel was originally a family. You know, they were a family, and that's what it's about. It's about loving your neighbor as yourself, starting with your family, you know. And like I said, it's the most basic rule as a human being. So let's go now to Matthew 24, because we're going to see, though, in the world we're living in today, it's not as simple as it seems, because natural affection isn't the same. And, you know, when we talk about the word even love and what it means, you know, you could talk to 10 people in the world and you get 10 different things. Somebody who was maybe abused as a child and beaten, he's going to have one idea of love, you know, compared to somebody else who may have been an orphan and not even had a family, will have one idea of love compared to somebody that may have grown up in a stable family. So we really got to look in Scripture, and we're going to have to really see how on earth can we do this in the world that we live in. Matthew 24 and verse 7 says, and this is the Olivet prophecy of the end time, "For nation will be raised against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and plagues and earthquakes against different places. But all these are a beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to affliction and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name." So in the end time, you know, when we're talking about loving our neighbor as ourself and living in community and giving everything you have and only taking what you need, what's the world doing? The world is actually killing you simply because you believe in the name of Yeshua or the name of Yahweh. "And then many will be offended, and they will deliver up one another and will hate one another." And this is even within the congregation. "And many false prophets will be raised and will deceive many." We're seeing that today. "And because lawlessness shall have multiplied, the love of many will wax cold." So we're living, like it says, in the days of Noah, there was violence in the land. And we're living in a time when lawlessness is multiplied. And, you know, many people may not realize this whole fake news of Christianity, of the law being nailed to the cross. It's not something that was in Christianity all along. Even in Catholicism, going way back, this idea of Yahweh's commandments being nailed to a cross was just never there. That's something that is in our generation. That's something in this evil, wicked, end-time generation, because people don't want any kind of moral absolutes. And when you take out any kind of moral absolutes, then anything goes. And what do you have? You have where abortion is a woman's right to choose. You know, you have all of these wickedness, you know, homosexuality is a life choice. So you have where every evil, wicked sin before Yahweh is justified before people. So when you say love, what does that mean? You know, I mean, that's the way people justify homosexuality, that, you know, if two people want to love each other, that's nobody's business but them. And they don't see, no, that's not love. So if we're going to learn how to love our neighbor as ourselves, we really got to start looking into this. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Because I think even in the congregation, many brethren don't know what true love is and how to exhibit that love. And like I said, there's a lot more self-righteousness that's out there today, of people judging each other over every tiny little thing, over foods, over this, over that. And it's not loving our neighbor as ourselves. But 2 Timothy 3 says, but know this, in the last days, disastrous times will be upon us. Wow. And if the Apostle Paul was resurrected today, I don't think he can even imagine that, even though he's writing these words, I don't even think he can imagine what he would see in this society. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked. How can people with all these type of characteristics ever understand how to love their neighbors themselves? Without natural feeling, addicted to lust, right? Slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, traitors, hasty, boasters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim, having a form of righteousness but denying the power of it, even turn away from these. So we see this even, you know, at this time where you have so much evil going on in the world, who would have ever thought you'd also have a so-called Torah movement that, you know, millions of people around the world are moving toward the Torah. And yet they're not turning toward the Torah of learning how to love their neighbors themselves. They're learning toward the Torah in a way of self-righteousness, as a way of judging other people, as a way of like I said, just bringing their own way about. And what we're seeing, at least in our congregation today, of kibbutzes, communities starting, you could never ever have it with the human nature that's in the world. It's impossible. It's impossible. Without the Spirit of Yahweh moving and turning, it could never happen. And like I said, it's the very premise, most basic kingdom principle that you can get, is you have to learn to love your neighbor as yourself, because in the kingdom, wow, there isn't going to be any arguing and fighting and you know, people being offended at this and offended at that. You're just not going to have that in the kingdom. So what it means is, if you can't learn to love your neighbors yourself, you're simply not going to be in the kingdom. This is something that is vital to getting in there. In the end, the false perception of love, as people are arrogant, they're braggers, they're disobedient, they're ungrateful, they're wicked, they're discontent, they're addicted to lust, they're without natural feelings, you know, people dumping babies in garbage cans, killing the life of their womb, you know, open abortion, millions every year, everywhere you look. And it's normal to love self. That's what people are telling you. It's normal to love yourself. And anything connected to the self, right? People love their children, as wicked as they will be, because their children are an extension of them. And they really don't love their children. They love themselves. So they're loving their children as an extension of them, but it's not the true love of Yahweh. It's the self, the selfishness that comes. So anything that's connected to self, people love, but in the end, people are committing suicide. People are murdering their children. They're murdering their spouses. They're murdering their parents. They're murdering their unborn babies. And we're living in a culture of death. There's no reverence for life anymore. It is literally a culture of death that we're living in. A culture of greed, a culture of self-consumption. And we've never seen anything like this. There's been good societies, there's been bad societies, but we've never seen anything like this society. And that's why many people are depressed and many people self-consumed. And even youth suicide and depression among youth is the highest that it's ever been as far as records go. So, with all that said, how do you love your neighbor as yourself? If yourself is evil and greedy and wicked and prideful and rebellious and ungrateful, how on earth can you love your neighbor as yourself when you don't even know what love is? Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. Because it actually, the answer is the very first scripture I read. Because when I read Matthew 22, right, showing that love your neighbor as yourself in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, was, and then we went to Leviticus 19, was also in the First Covenant and in the Tanakh. But the first thing it said, that what was the question in Matthew 22? What is the greatest commandment? And what did Yeshua said? You shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And this is the key to it. That if, and just like when we looked at the five gateways, right, to the kingdom, what was the very first gateway? The very first gateway is fear of Yah. Because if you can't have the proper fear of Yah, you will never, ever get any of the other gateways. And judicial order is part of that proper fear of Yah. It's his judicial order. But the same way here, that if you can't love Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, if you can't get the proper love for Elohim, you'll never be able to love a human being. It's that simple. And that's why relationships with Elohim, relationships with Yahweh, have to come even before relationships in our family. If a husband and wife are having marital problems, it starts with one or both spouses not having a proper relationship with Yahweh. If children are having a problem in a home, it starts with not having proper relationship with Yahweh. If brothers and sisters in a congregation are having problems with each other, it starts with not having proper relationship with Yahweh, because there's only one spirit. And Yahweh certainly isn't fighting with himself, and Yeshua certainly isn't fighting with Yahweh. The Father and the Son are two separate, distinct beings, and yet they are one in mind, one in purpose, one in thought. Can you imagine that? One in mind, one in purpose, one in thought. So we have to learn this first. So in Deuteronomy 6, I'll read it here, starting in verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statute, and the judgments which Yahweh your Elohim commanded to teach you, to do them in the land which you are crossing over to possess it, that you might fear Yahweh your Elohim, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your son's sons, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear then, O Israel, and take heed to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase greatly as Yahweh the Elohim of your fathers has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. So this is the very basis to staying in the kingdom of Yahweh, staying in the land. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim is Yahweh Echad, Yahweh united. Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son are 100% united. There is never, can you imagine, in the history of existence, because they're both eternal beings, they've never, ever, ever had a thought against each other. Never an argument. Never a railing accusation. Nothing. And you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You know, and what does it say? There, where your heart is, there is your treasure. So is that your treasure in life? Loving Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and the strength. Because if you could love Yahweh that way, then and only then can you start to understand how to love your neighbor. Because love, Yahweh's love is not conditional love. Yahweh's love is agape love. It means it's unconditional love. It means it's love that's based on truth. It's love that's based on truth. And those truths are core values that Yahweh has that are part of his character based in the Ten Commandments. And they never change. So that's the point of it, you know, that when if somebody is sinning, if somebody is doing a sin, that's the reason why you're going to rebuke them or you're going to refrain from contact with them out of love. That's an act of love to refrain from being with someone by shunning somebody who's living a lifestyle of sin. You're showing them love, because if not, they're going to go to the lake of fire. And say that, but to say that you're going to accept them, whether it's homosexual lifestyle, whether it's divorce and remarriage, or any other sin that's out there, if you're accepting the sin in somebody's life, you're not showing love to that person. That is not agape love. That is human love that loves something that's connected to them. It's selfish love. It's people wanting to have things that are connected to them, but it's not the love of Yahweh. So, Human love is selfish, it's conditional, it's self-motivated. And Yahweh's love is the exact opposite. Malachi 1 and 5 and 6. Malachi 1 and 5 and 6 says, "And your eye shall see, and you shall say, Yahweh will be magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear?" Right? The fear of Yahweh comes with the love of Yahweh. It says Yahweh of hosts, "O priests who despise my name." But you say, "What if we despise your name?" So here Yahweh is saying, a son honors his father and a servant his master. But if he's our father and our master, where is his honor and where is his fear? And that's the key to everything in life. That's the first gateway to the kingdom. And that's the key to loving your neighbor as yourself. And like I said, the unfortunate part in life is that Yahweh made mankind in his own image. And most of mankind is made Elohim or G-O-D in their image. And that's what happens. If you're homosexual, you're going to make a G-O-D who loves homosexuality and doesn't care. If you're divorced and remarried, you're going to come up with an Elohim that doesn't care about divorce and remarriage. Whatever it is in your life that's your vice, that's what you're going to come up with. And that's the kind of Elohim you're going to have. Mark 7 and verse 18. Mark 7 and verse 18. Mark 7 and verse 18. Very interesting what Yeshua says here. "And he said to them, are you also so undiscerning? Do you not perceive that all that enters from the outside into the man is not able to defile him? This is because it does not enter into his heart, but into his belly and goes into the waste bowl, purging the food," right? So he's talking about eating with unclean hands, right? So if you're eating with unclean hands and there's some dirt in that food, that's not making you spiritually defiled because it's going to go through your body. It's going to come out into the toilet and it's going to go into the waste bowl. But he says, from within, out of the heart of men, past the evil thoughts, the adulteries, the fornications, the murders, the thefts, the greedy desires, the iniquities, deceit, lustful desires, a wicked eye, blasphemy, pride, recklessness. It almost sounds like it's comparing with 2 Timothy 3. All these evil things pass from within and defile the man. So this is what defiles the man. The man is defiled by his own evil human nature. And it's because human beings as a whole are void of the mind of Messiah. That's the great mystery that Yahweh is doing in the end time with mankind. That is the mystery. The mystery is that evil, fleshly human nature, if we surrender to Yahweh and we allow this nature to die, that Yahweh can literally put his spirit in us and he can build up the mind of Messiah, and that actually then the thoughts that are coming into your mind and the things that you're doing are all coming from Yeshua living in you. And that's why the Bible says, where is the boasting? It's not coming from yourself. It's coming from Messiah living in us. But it doesn't come easily, and we're going to talk about that now. Genesis 2 and verse 15, because you have to understand this. If you're going to love your neighbors yourself, you have to understand what yourself is. You have to understand that humanly yourself, your human nature is defiled, it's evil. And just the fact of how evil your human nature is, the fact that people get offended so easily when you're trying to lovingly correct them, shows how evil and how self-righteous the human nature really is. Genesis 2 and verse 15, "And Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, eating, you may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day you eat it, you shall die." Very simple, right? Sometimes people say with the food laws, oh, they're only physical laws. Does it really make a difference? Yes, it makes a difference. Why does it make a difference? Because it's outright rebellion once you know it. If you don't know it and somebody eats unclean food, it's not an act of rebellion. But if you know that that food, that Yahweh said that food violates the very body of the Holy Spirit that is, you know, that you have, then of course it would be rebellion. But Yahweh requires 100% loyalty and submission to him in everything. So it's much more than just about food. It's about our very loyalty to Yahweh. And like I said, if we can't be loyal to Yahweh, if we can't love Yahweh, we'll never love our neighbors ourselves. And then Genesis 3:6, we've read this many times, right? When they violate that, the woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. And she took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband, and he ate. So this is the fleshly lust, the self-recognition for knowledge brought treason. This was treason. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't, oops, I ate the wrong fruit. I shouldn't have done that. No, it was a treasonous act that Yahweh wanted full loyalty and submission to him in the Garden of Eden. And like I always say, Adam lost a kingdom, not a religion. And in the kingdom of Yahweh, loving your neighbor as yourself is the most basic law in the kingdom, next to loving Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And that's why Matthew 22 actually said that the second is like unto it. You shall love Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and the strength. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because your neighbor was created in the image of Yahweh just like you are. And if you really have the unconditional agape love of Yahweh, it's not that hard to love your neighbor as yourself. It's that simple. In order to love your neighbor as yourself, first we have to have proper Elohim-guided spirit to know what true love is. In a defiled human nature form, you can't understand it. Now, granted, there could be human beings that were taught, because we are creatures of habit, and we're brought up and taught to respect people, to be kind to people, and different things, and that's great, that's fine. Depending on when you live, that's something totally different, but it's not agape love. It's not unconditional love of Yahweh to love your neighbor as yourself. Because the true agape unconditional love, the unconditional love that seeks the betterment of everybody, not just self. This love is based on the spirit of Yahweh and the Torah and Yahweh, and not worldly man's fallen nature that is void of the Holy Spirit of Yahweh. It is an act of true love to hold someone accountable for their sins. That is an act of true love. And the selfish and the easy way is just not to say anything. And that's what people do a lot of times. You know, whether it's somebody who is caught in a sin, maybe, and let's say they had to be put out of the congregation because of a sin. And most people will never write that person and tell them what they did was wrong and that they need to repent in a loving way. You know, not it doesn't have to be in a harsh way. But that's what we need to do. That's the love of Yahweh. It's to make accountability to each of us. And it's part of loving your neighbors yourself. So as we're getting into loving your neighbors yourself, and it is a lot of sacrifice, because what it means is, right, give everything you have and only take what you need. That's part of loving your neighbors yourself. When you have a community, you have to think about that way. It's not just about what you need. It's not just about, do I have food? Can I pay my bills? No, you have to be thinking of other people there. So that's one aspect of the community living, is thinking everybody has to be cared for. But the other part of it is the accountability to each other, to loving your brother or your sister enough that you're holding him accountable to the acts that he's causing, if they're acts that could even take him out of the kingdom. Let's go to Galatians 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5 and verse 13. Because it's not even humanly possible. Think about it. Let's say you have a community of 100 people that are living together and believers, right? In the world, when you have that, let's think of like a condominium complex where you have several hundred people living in there. Do you really think that the person who's moving into that condominium complex and buying a condominium unit is thinking about their neighbor or the guy down the street to make sure that he can pay his monthly fee or that he can do this? Of course not. In the world, people are thinking of themselves. And the only thing they're thinking of their neighbor when they're moving there is they don't want to live in a place where there's bad neighbors. They don't want to get their house robbed. They don't want people maybe that are going to play loud music at night and disturb them. They're thinking of all these things. That's the only reason you're thinking of your neighbor. But in Yahweh's kibbutz, in Yahweh's community, in Yahweh's kingdom, it's more than that. That we're looking at each person in that community as us. So we're not just looking. So if I'm asking questions like, well, is it handicap friendly? Are there any handicap ramps there? I might not need a handicap ramp, but I understand there's another person that I know in the congregation who's handicapped that will need that ramp. And those are the questions I should be asking. What is best for everybody, not just what's best for me? And there's a responsibility to everybody. And like I say, you know, that if you live in a community, you live in a kibbutz, and it's your responsibility to milk the cow, and breakfast comes, and everybody's sitting there with dry cereal, Everybody knows who didn't do their job. And it's not showing love. It's not loving your neighbor as yourself when you're not upholding your end of the responsibility in a communal setting. It's that simple. Galatians 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For brothers, you were called to liberty. Only do not use this liberty for an opening of the flesh, but through love serve one another. Right? So yes, there's a liberty in the Brit Hadashah, in the New Covenant, but we don't want to use that liberty toward self. We want to use that liberty to be serving each other and to love one another. For the whole Torah is fulfilled in one word in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it really is, to be honest. When Yeshua said the whole Torah hangs on loving Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, he's absolutely correct. Because if we actually did that 100%, you wouldn't need 613 laws of the Torah. If you look, the Ten Commandments, every single law in the Tanakh, to one degree or another, is an extension of one of the Ten Commandments. Every single law, to one degree or another. The Shabbat law, you have the holy days, you have the new moons. When you're looking at family life, right? And thou shalt not commit adultery. Then the laws about not divorce and remarriage. Every single law to one degree or another comes from the Ten Commandments. So this is where the whole Torah really is fulfilled. If you love Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and you love your neighbors yourself. If you really, really did that, you wouldn't even need many. And I'll tell you another thing that's really interesting, just on a side note. We just had our Bible school not that long ago this year. A great year, great school. And every year, it's a school of discipline. We have many rules that are there. Things, simple things like keeping the door closed so we don't get cats in the meeting hall, to not taking other people's food that they bought that's in the refrigerator. You know, that's not loving your neighbors yourself, because then the person may not have money to buy more food. But we have a lot of rules that I go over. I usually go over them the first day or two. And then over the first week or two, I remind the people when something's going on. Do you know this is the first year that we basically didn't need any rules? And a matter of fact, there's also rules there. Not rules, but we have like lists there for who's day for the washing machine. You know, when you have a bunch of people and you have one washing machine, you have to take turns so that everybody gets a turn to do their wash. The same with washing dishes. Every night, so many people washing dishes, and then the next night is somebody else. And one of the brethren that was there said to me at the end of the school, he said, you know, Don, because they're hanging on the door of the kitchen, he pointed to and he said, we haven't followed those rules once. Not because they were in rebellion, because they didn't have to. He said, because every single day, everybody was helping. Everybody was loving their neighbor as themselves. Everybody was thinking on the things of somebody else more than the things of themselves. And then the rules really aren't necessary. The rules are there, and more rules are only there when people are not loving their Yahweh with all their heart, mind, and soul, and loving their neighbor as themselves. So back to Galatians 5. But if you bite and devour one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. And that's what happens. And I've seen it. I've seen it happen in friendships. I've seen it happen in congregations. I've seen it happen where people that come with a wrong attitude and a selfish attitude, and they start devouring and backbiting each other, looking at, hey, his thing is this, I don't have as much as this. Selfish looking. And instead of giving everything you have and only taking what you need, they're trying to take as much as they can and give as little as they can. And it doesn't work, because then they start consuming one another. But I say, if you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh will not overtake you, right? The mind of Messiah. But the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are opposed to one another, so you are not able to do as you desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the penalty of breaking the Torah. Now the works of the flesh are clearly revealed. So this is your human nature. This is what you're born with. This is what you have to fight every day of your life if you're going to put on the mind of the Messiah. Adultery, impurity, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft, enmity, fighting, jealousies, anger, rivalry, stubbornness, divisions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and things like these, of which I tell you beforehand, as I said before, that the ones practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Right? Most basic kingdom principle, next to love Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, is loving your neighbors yourself. And if you're not dying to the flesh, and these fleshly, evil, human nature characteristics are there, I don't care what you have, I don't care what resources you have, I don't care how smart the people are coming into the community, it will never, ever work. And I've seen it. I've seen it in my 35 years as a believer. I've seen communities, particularly in Babylon, blow up time after time after time because of worldly, fleshly desires that people have. But if we continue here, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. These are the nine fruits of the Spirit. This is, like I said, write them down every month. Take them out and analyze each one. Am I growing in love? Am I growing in joy and peace and patience and kindness and meekness? You know, because against such things, there is no instruction. That's what I said. When everybody was loving their neighbors themselves, we didn't need rules. You know, well, of course, you always need some rules, but we didn't have to make lists of who's doing this and who's doing that because everybody was doing it. But the ones belonging to Messiah, they crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. Unless you're fighting this human nature every day and surrendering to the Spirit of Yahweh, it will never work. Let us not be a vainglory that ridicules one another and envies one another, right? Nope, we want to be the other way. Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 2. Romans 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Yeshua Messiah, set me free from the law of sin and death. That's the law that we just read. What's the law of sin and death? Fighting, hatreds, enmities, you know, lust, all those things that we just read. For the Torah being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So that the righteous demand of the Torah might be fulfilled in us, those not walking according to the flesh, but according to Spirit. For the ones that are according to flesh mind the things of the flesh, and the ones according to Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity, it's hatred toward Elohim. For it is not subject to the Torah of Elohim, for it is not possible to be so. And those being in the flesh are not able to please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. But if anyone is not the Spirit of the Messiah, this one does not belong to him. But if Messiah is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So this is what we're talking about here. We must actively think about and work on dying to our fleshly human nature every single day. You know, it's no game. If you're really going to love your neighbor as yourself, which is the basic command of entering the kingdom of Yahweh, then you better die to your flesh every day. And that's where the problem comes in. Why is there, like it talks about in the book of Jacob, I won't go there, why is there fightings among you? Because of lust. Because of enmity and lust. And people, you know, thinking on their own more than they're thinking on the things of Yahweh. Matthew 5 and verse 43. Matthew 5 and verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those cursing you. Do well to those hating you, and pray for those who take you by force and persecute you, so that you may become sons of your Father in heaven. Because he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those loving you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers, what exceptional thing do you do? Do not tax collectors do the same? Therefore, you become perfect or complete, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So, you know, it's interesting when we're looking at this, love your neighbor as yourself, because like Yeshua says over here, that even tax collectors, even sinners, right, they love people that will help them. Look at politicians, right? One rubs one back, the other rubs the other back. Why? It's not because they love their neighbors themselves. It's because they know they can get something from somebody. So if they're getting something from somebody, somebody will be friendly and they'll do that. And that's like it says, even tax collectors do the same. But for us, we need to have true agape love. We need to love even the people who are enemies to us, even the people that despitefully use us, even the people that hate us. We aren't to give back and give back reviling for reviling. And like Yeshua said, you're even to love. And the sad part about it, though, with some believers, they don't even love the ones who love them. They don't even love other brethren. They don't even love their own families. You know, sometimes not even their spouses. This is such a basic concept that even the tax collectors will love those who love them. And for some in the congregation, they're not even doing that. They're not even in a worldly way, which is really, really sad. But we have to, it's almost unhuman what Yeshua is asking, to even love those who hate you. And it really, in a human sense, it is unhuman. But with the mind of Messiah, you can go above what is human. You can go above what is human, and you could literally, because Yahweh loves everybody. Yahweh loves absolutely everybody, whether they're evil or they're good. John 4 and verse 31, that's why it's not punishment to put people in the lake of fire. It's out of love. It's the last act of love for people that will not repent, for people that have an evil nature, for people that if Yahweh took them into the kingdom, they're going to hurt themselves and they're going to hurt everybody in their path. Out of love, Yahweh will just have them burn and cease to exist. And for people to come up with Christianity, this burning hellfire forever and ever, what kind of Elohim do they think that we serve? That he would want people burning and burning and burning and suffering forever? No, that's human nature that wants that, that wants to get even, that has envy, not Yahweh. Actually, putting someone in the lake of fire who refuses to repent and is a miserable person and is only going to harm themselves and every single person they would come in contact with in the kingdom is the last act of a merciful Elohim. Let's go to John, the book of John, chapter 4 and verse 31. But in the meantime, the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Then the disciples said to one another, no one brought him food to eat. Yeshua said to him, my food is that I should do the will of him who sent me, and that I may finish his work. Do not say that after 4 months comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields, that they are white and have ripened for the harvest already. And he that reaps receives a wage and gathers fruit unto life that is eternal. And the sower and the reaper together will rejoice. Loving your neighbor as yourself, right? The sower and the reaper will rejoice together. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. So even though you may think now you're getting away with something because of Yahweh's grace, which is not that it's not allowing sin, that's not grace. It's that he's not giving immediate judgment, that he's giving you time to repent. And that's why Yahweh doesn't judge you immediately when you do something wrong. There are times you could do something wrong. You might eat unclean food and you might get sick because it's a law of nature that Yahweh put there, right? But Yahweh isn't sitting there looking to pounce on people the minute they sin. No, many times Yahweh will give you time to repent because that's what grace is. Grace is that he's not bringing immediate judgment, but he's allowing you that time. But in the end, you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. And if you don't repent, you're going to pay the consequences. Our whole life should be toward the work of Yahweh. That's what our life should be. You know, and only then when we love Yahweh with all our heart, mind, our soul, and our strength, and we are committed to Yahweh completely, can we love our neighbor as ourselves. And like I said, your direct relationship to Yahweh and how spiritual a person you are is 100% connected to how connected you are to Yahweh's work. Because you could play a good game and you could be self-righteous and you could, you know, sit there and, you know, say I'm going to dress modest and I don't do this and I don't do that. But if you have no desire to the work of Yahweh that he's doing, redeeming men in these end times, and you're not loving your neighbors yourself, then you're a phony. You're just being a phony out there. So you have to die to the flesh daily. And in the end, all that is left is the mind of Messiah, the spirit of Yeshua in you to love your neighbor properly. This is the new creation, regenerated spirit of Adam's fallen nature to the mind of Messiah. And that's what it comes down to. There's, like I said, there's no easy answer. There has to be a fighting, a tooth and nail fighting every day of your life to be overcoming sin and to be overcoming yourself. You know, be overcoming your own human nature. Ephesians 4 Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then I, the prisoner of our master, exhort you to walk worthily of the calling in which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling, one Yahweh family, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, the one above all and through all and in all. But to each one of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah." So, when we're looking at this, we have to realize it, that where does the fruits of the flesh come from? They come from self-preservation. They come from selfish desires. It comes from me wanting to do things my own way. But when we're looking here, what do we see? There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called to the hope of your calling, one Yahweh family, one faith, one baptism. And only when we realize that there's something bigger than me. There's something bigger than me. And it's not important if I get my way. It's not important. You know, although in a community, everybody's likes and dislikes and pleasures and, you know, should come into effect. But at the same rate, as an individual, what should make me happy is if all the community is cared for. It shouldn't be just that I'm getting my way. That should not be it. It shouldn't even be on my mind. It's not even part of Yahweh's character. It's not part of the mind of Messiah to want his way. You know what he wants? He wants what's best for everybody. That's the mind of Messiah. Yahweh has never, ever, ever in the existence, because he has no beginning, no end, he has never had a selfish thought. He's never had a selfish thought. His thoughts are always on what's best for everybody. Ephesians 5, let's go over one chapter, over 1 and 2. He says, "Then become imitators of Elohim as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh for an odor of a sweet smell." So here we are. We're seeing again that we have to think about this. We need to meditate. And it should humble us that each of us, there's nobody out there in the world, anywhere in the world, that can say, "Well, you know what? I appreciate Yahweh's grace, but I really didn't need it. If Yeshua didn't die for my sins, you know, I was doing pretty good without it." No way. Every single one of us is dead man walking. Every single one of us was on our way to the lake of fire. And it was only by the mercy and the grace of Yahweh to give us time to repent, to give us the spirit of repentance, which is a gift of itself, and to send Yeshua to this earth to suffer, be brutally beaten, and pay the penalty of our sins, that we stand here before him righteous. And we should be thinking about that every single day of our life. And if that doesn't make us love our neighbor as ourselves, I don't know what would. Because Yahweh loves your neighbor as much as you. It's not that he's a respecter of character, a respecter of people. And he wants everyone. It's his desire that everyone makes the kingdom. But we know everyone won't make the kingdom because Yahweh gives free will. So what do we have to do? We have to make sure that we're doing everything in our power to help our neighbor, to love our neighbor, to pray for our neighbor, and to care for our neighbor. And that we are changing from within so that evil human nature is changing to the agape love of Yahweh, that we really can love our neighbor as ourselves. Go back to Ephesians 4. Let's start in verse 17. It says, "Therefore I say this and testify in the Master, that you no longer walk, even as also the rest of the nations walk, in vanity of their mind." That's the whole world. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The whole world is nothing but vanity. "Having been darkened by their intellect, being alienated from the life of Elohim, because they have no knowledge, which is because of the hardness of their heart." Right? The world, I used to have an uncle, he used to have a saying. He used to say, "You're so smart that you're stupid." And that's the way the world is today. They're so smart that they're stupid. They keep wanting to create more things that are knowledge-based, more internet things, more artificial intelligence. And everything they're creating is not making the world any better. It's not making people love their neighbors themselves. It's only making people more self-centered, more depressed, more evil. And that's the way it is. "Who, having cast off all feelings, surrendered themselves up to lust and into the practice of all uncleanness, with the desire for more and more, and here we are. But that is not what you've been taught in Messiah. So that's the world. That's not us. Now, here's what we've been taught. If indeed you heard him and were taught in him as the truth is in Yeshua, lay aside all your former practices and put off the old man, having been degenerated with deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the mind of Messiah, and put on the new man who was created by Elohim in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, put away from you lying and speak the truth with each his neighbor, right? Love your neighbors yourself. You wouldn't want to be lied to, right? We're offended when somebody lies to us. But then do we go out and lie to somebody else? For we are members of one another. When you lie to your brother, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to Yahweh. Be angry, but do not sin. That's righteous anger, right? Go to your brother if you have to. Zealously share with him where he needs to change, but don't sin. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, right? And do not give the devil a chance. Because once you let anger come in, and it's not righteous anger, but it's selfish anger, the next thing you know, you're sinning. You're giving Satan a way to work in your mind and overcome you. The one stealing, let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working what is good with the hands, that he may have something to give to the one who has need, right? So here it is. If you had something that you worked for, if you worked hard, you wouldn't want someone to just steal it and all your hard work to go to nothing. So why would you steal from somebody else, right? But no, rather labor with our hands that we have something to give. Let not any evil word go out from your mouth, but words that are good and useful for edification, that it may impart a blessing to those who hear them. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Elohim, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption, right? The day Yeshua returns. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and turmoil and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. You don't want somebody speaking bad about you, so don't speak bad about somebody else. Love your neighbor as yourself. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Elohim has forgiven us through Messiah. Every one of us needs that forgiveness. And I'm shocked when I see believers that I thought were really strong, that hold grudges against other people and will not forgive somebody. And you tell them, but how can you pray to Yahweh and ask for forgiveness every night if you won't forgive this other person? And the only answer is they don't see they need forgiveness. The stench of the self-righteous thinks they're doing everything right, so they won't forgive somebody else. And at the same rate, they don't even think they need Yahweh's forgiveness. It's really, 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 really sad. But go to Luke 7 in verse 37, because he gives us the answer for this. Because everyone needs the forgiveness of Yahweh in our life. But there's something you need to get that forgiveness. There's something you need, and we're going to read it here. Luke 7 and verse 37. And behold, a woman who was a sinner in the city, knowing that he, Yeshua, reclined in the Pharisee's house, taking an alabaster vial of ointment, and stood behind him and was crying at his feet. And she began washing his feet with her tears, and then wiping with the hair of her head. And she was kissing his feet and anointing them with ointment. So here's this woman who's a sinner. She understands it. She's trying to repent. She understands what she's doing. She's overwhelmed with emotion. She's crying and wiping Yeshua's feet with her hair and the tears. And when that Pharisee who had invited him saw that, he reasoned within himself and said that if this man was a prophet, he would realize who she is and what her reputation is. That woman, she is a sinner. That who touched him, right? Everybody's reputation is dirt, right? We all are, everybody. So that's the world we're living in today, the world of the internet, where people want to malign people through the internet. People want to dig up dirt on every politician, on everybody that's there, on everybody that's whatever. And the reality of it is every single person is dirt. So, you know, what we're to do, though, is we're to move out from that dirt. We're to move ahead and overcome and be overcomers and then not look behind to the thing what we were. That's what Satan wants to do. He is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that wants you to think you can never overcome. It's Yahweh who sees you for what you will be, not for what you were. And answering Yeshua said to the man, Simon, I have a thing to say to you. And he said, speak, Rabbi. He said, there were two debtors to a certain creditor. The one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. But because he did not have a thing to pay, he freely forgave them both. Then which of them do you say will love him the most? And answering, Simon said, I suppose the one to whom he freely forgave the most. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give water for my feet, but she washed my feet with tears and wiped off with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but she from the when I entered did not stop fervently kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with oil of incense. For I say to you, I say this to you, because her sins that are forgiven her are many. She has loved much, but he that is forgiven little loves him little. Wow. So right here it's very clear. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you're not loving your neighbor as yourself, then you're not seeing the grace you need in your life. Because if you had a lot of forgiveness, if you see the greatness of the forgiveness in your own life that Yahweh did for you, then you will automatically, it's part of the definition of grace. It's not only the forgiveness that's unmerited, but it's wanting to give that back because you know you can't. You know you can't. And that's part of loving your neighbors yourself. He who has much love, you know, has much forgiveness. He who has little love has little forgiveness. So if you have little love and you don't feel sympathy and empathy for your neighbor, then you better really start looking into your heart and seeing, do you really have Yahweh's forgiveness in your life? Because you may not. You may have never really repented. And that's another big problem on its own. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of Yahweh, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving yourself if anyone has a complaint against any. Even as Messiah forgave you, so also you should forgive. And above all these, have love, which is the bond of perfection. Right? That's the glue. That's the super glue that holds it all together. What do they call it? The gorilla tape that holds it all together. The super glue. The bond of perfection above all these is love. And let the peace of Messiah rule in your hearts. For that goal, you are called in one body, and be thankful to Messiah. And what does this bring? When you have this, to he who has much forgiveness, has much love, then you are going to be thankful. Then every day of your life, you are going to be so thankful to Yahweh for what he did in your life and that he saved you from the lake of fire and that your life has changed. And now, because you repented, you're not going to reap what you sow. You don't have to go through all those horrors of what the sin would have brought in your life. So there is a thankfulness that comes, and that thankfulness will want to go out and help other people. It's that simple. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Says, see what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we may be called sons of Yahweh, who made us. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the sons of Yahweh, and it is not yet revealed what we shall be. But we know that if he is revealed, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, talking about Yeshua. And everyone having this hope on him purifies himself, even as that one is pure. So, we don't know exactly what we're going to be, but as Yahweh is transforming us from that evil, sinful, fallen nature of Adam into the very mind of Messiah. Wow, that should be exciting us. That should be exciting us, and it should be motivating us to work harder. It's like if you're overweight and you want to lose 50 pounds and you start on this exercise and this diet, you're not going to lose it all at once. And after maybe 3 days or 4 days, maybe you didn't lose anything, right? And you might be discouraged and think, oh, wow, is this really even worth it? But after you go a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, a month, and you start losing some weight, you get motivated. And then you want to work harder. You want to eat better. You want to exercise more because you see the fruit of your labor. And it's the same way. When you are denying yourself and you're overcoming and you see changes in your life that you know not in a million years you could have ever done by yourself, but it's the mind of Messiah doing it. And all of a sudden, you're in your heart, you're having love and sympathy and empathy for the brethren that you didn't have before. It's exciting and it makes you work that much harder and better. 1 John 4 and verse 7, one page over. 1 John 4 and verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another because love is of Yahweh. And everyone who loves has been generated from Elohim and knows Elohim. The one who does not love is not known Elohim because Yahweh is love. By this was the love of Elohim toward us made known, because Yahweh sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live by him. And this is love, not that we loved Yahweh, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we ought to love one another. And, you know, no man has ever seen Yahweh. We see things from the Tanakh of what Yahweh does. We see the love he had for Israel. But Yeshua walked this earth as a human being. And we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have the four testimonies of Yeshua, the four good news messages, beside the other epistles that Paul has and the letters from Peter and John and whatnot. But while that should motivate us, that when we see the love that Yeshua had, that we can exemplify that love. And to think that Yahweh is love, that's what he is. It's not just something he has. He is love, and we need to become love like that. And you know, it says he loved us first. So that's the other thing. We look at people sometimes, and we have judgmental spirits sometimes, and say, oh, this person's doing this, or this person's doing that, or, you know, I don't know if I trust him because, maybe he's still overcoming something, a brother or sister in the congregation. But you want to know something? Yahweh looked at each of us before we were ever called. He looked at us when we were in the world, when we were the worst sinners possible. And he didn't call us because we were a sinner. He called us because he saw something in us. He saw something in our character that maybe we had discipline or a character or love or something. But he saw something in us that he knew he could work with, or he would have never called us. And we need to have that same love and that same empathy and sympathy on other people instead of being self-righteous and always judging. Drop down to verse 15. Whoever confesses that Yeshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim abides in him and he in Elohim. And we have known that we believe the love which Elohim has in us. Yahweh is love, and the one abiding in love abides in Elohim and Elohim in him. But this love has been perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, that as he is, we are also in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and the one fearing has not been perfected in love. We love him because he loved us first. If anyone says, I love Elohim, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one not loving his brother, whom he has seen, how is he able to love Yahweh, whom he has not seen? And we have this commandment from him, that he who loves Elohim ought to love his brother. And it's the very basis. What did Yeshua say? All men will know you're my disciples by this, that you have love one for another. Right? And this is, but when people that are self-centered, people that are self-seeking, what did they have? They don't have love, they have fear. And fear will bring doubt and self-preservation. And that's why sometimes people that may have put on an act for a while in the congregation, you know, but man, once that fear comes in, you'll see somebody you never thought you saw before. Because the fear wants to bring self-preservation. It will lie, it will steal, it will cheat, it will do anything. But what gets rid of fear? Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. You're never going to overcome your fears if you don't have the love of Yahweh first, which will lead to the love of your brother, love your neighbors, yourself. You have to get rid of that. And fear is a terrible thing. I've seen it in people. It's the top thing, that fear will bring doubt in your mind. And then Satan has you right where he wants you. Talk about fake news. You know, he will broadcast all kinds of fake things in your mind and perceptions that aren't there. And all from a fearful spirit that's not of Yahweh. Because there is no fear in love. And it's showing that if you're filled with fear, you don't have the love of Yahweh in your life. Romans 8 verse 16, because you know something, it really shouldn't be that hard. It should not be that hard. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. It shouldn't be that hard, because when you're loving your neighbor as yourself, you really are loving yourself. Because when one suffers, we all suffer. And when one is blessed, we're all blessed. We're one body. The Laodicean can't understand this, because the Laodicean is separated to himself. But he who separates himself seeks his own desire, Proverbs 18:1. So this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with majority of Laodiceans in the world that are not part of the body of Messiah. They don't want to be part of the body of Messiah. And yet, as the true body, where Yahweh is leading us into community and kibbutzes and these other things, We have to overcome that spirit, that Laodicean spirit. And we have to make sure, because it should be natural to love the same people as ourselves. It should be natural. You know, and I say this many times in the past when I was part of Church of God. And I used to go to the feast and I'd get on an airplane. And like I said, there could be 240 people on that airplane. But if there was one brother or sister on that airplane, I would know it. I'd go up to the person. You wouldn't happen to be, you know, going to the Feast of Tabernacles, would you? Yeah, why? Hey, you know, because I'm going there. The Spirit testifies against itself that we are the children of Yahweh. You see it. You can see the Spirit of Yahweh within somebody. 1 John 3 and verse 14. 1 John 3 and verse 14. Let's go back. It says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. It's a basic kingdom principle. The one not loving his brother remains in death. Everyone hating his brother is a murderer. And you know that every murderer does not have everlasting life abiding in him. By this we have known his love toward us. Because that one laid down his life for us, and on behalf of the brethren, we ought to lay down our life. But whoever has worldly possessions and sees his brother in need and shuts up his mercy from him, how is the love of Elohim in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And in this we shall know that we are of the truth, and shall persuade our hearts before him. You know, in the last few years, the last 3 years or so, our congregation has been blessed unbelievable financially, in the sense that we've been able to build somewhere around 10 congregational halls. We built a number of kibbutzes. We've helped brethren that had famines, all different kinds of things, and certainly in through me, because I don't have any money. It's that every single brother and sister and every little widow giving that little dollar that has put it together and has helped in this worldwide work. That's everyone has benefited from it. And yet there's people out there that want to hold their own tithe. They want to use it as their tithe as a weapon, you know, because they want to do their own work. They don't want to be something bigger than themselves. And, you know, when I give updates and I show, whether it's a kibbutz that's built and there's hundreds of people that are benefiting from that kibbutz, people that otherwise would be in big trouble or even wouldn't have clean water. Children, I went to Africa, were drinking from the sewer waters, and we were able to build them, you know, tap holes to get clean water from there. And they gave it to their community after that. It wasn't only for the brethren. And the people that are holding back and not giving a penny, they're not part of it. They're not part of it. They're not loving their neighbor as themselves. They're holding on and they're doing their own thing. And this is why, give everything you have and take what you need. That's the kibbutz principle. And I say this with all my heart. I'm giving this message today. This is a message that any pastor of Yahweh can give and should give. But I'm giving this in the sense of community mindset. I'm giving this in a sense to say that if we are going to live in community, there's no way on earth it'll work unless you're loving your neighbors yourself. Unless we mature to the point that we're putting on the mind of Messiah, we're dying to the flesh, we're not having all our own ideas and putting our own ideas above the welfare of everybody else in the congregation. It's that simple. But faith without works is dead. We must love in word and in deed. So it's not enough, like it says, when your neighbor comes, he's banging on the door and saying, I'm hungry, to say, okay, go, I'll pray for you. When you have it there, when it's in your power to do good and you don't do it, the Bible says it's sin. And we should be thinking about that. Two more scriptures and then we'll be finished. 1 Corinthians 13. Almost wouldn't it be fitting to give a message dealing anything with love without going to the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to just read verses 4 through 8. It says, love has patience. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love does not make a vain display of itself. Love does not boast. So it's not when we do something that we have to toot our horn. We gotta, you know, we want to put our name on it. You know, that, oh, I paid the money to get that well dug for the brethren there. And I want it to be called the Don Esposito Well Memorial. So everybody remembers my name. No. Love does not make a vain display of itself. It does not boast. It does not behave indecently. It does not pursue its own things. It is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love quietly covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, right? So here it is. Love does not pursue its own things. Whose things are you pursuing? Are you pursuing the things of Yahweh? Or are you pursuing the things of yourself? Love quietly covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You know, are you loving your neighbor and trying to cover situations in love? Or are you trying to exploit them in gossip and whatnot? But this is, it's so basic what we're reading here. But this is the very character of Yahweh. Yahweh is love. Acts 4 and verse 32. This scripture I'm going to go into. Acts 4 and verse 32. Because you could not have this kind of community happen without loving your neighbors yourself. The assembly of those men who were believing had but one soul and one mind. And no man among them concerning the possessions that he possessed would say that they were his. Rather, everything that they had was in common. And with great power, the apostles were testifying of the resurrection of the Master Yeshua. And great grace was upon them all. What's going to happen when we love our neighbor as ourselves? When we surrender to our evil, dirty human nature and we get the mind of Messiah, there's power there. There's power. There's miracles, right? And there's power of the Holy Spirit that's working. And great grace, it brings grace. Because where much love is, there's much forgiveness. So the more love we're showing, the more grace that there's going to be in the congregation. And there was no man among them who was lacking. For those who had possessed fields and houses would sell them and brought the price of whatever was sold. And laid them at the feet of the apostles. And it was distributed to each according as any had need. And Yosef, the one surnamed Barnabas by the apostles, the son of consolation, right? The son of encouragement, which being translated is son of comfort, a Levite, a Cypriot by race. A field being his, selling it, he brought the proceeds and placed them at the feet of the apostles. And you know something? In 2,000 years, we don't know of a congregation like we had here in the first century. And now we're starting to see it in the end time. As Yahweh goes full circle, right? The work of Yahweh started in Jerusalem. It's ending in Jerusalem 2,000 years later. Everything works in the circular, and that's what's happening here. And now Yahweh is getting the communities and kibbutzes set. Why? To prepare his people for the wilderness and prepare for the kingdom of Yahweh to come. And it's exciting that we're seeing something that we have not seen in 2,000 years. Yahweh is pouring out his spirit in these last days. And he's inspiring communal living to his end time remnant to protect them and to prepare them for service in his soon coming kingdom. We cannot learn this and truly learn to love our neighbor as ourselves if we are separated as Laodiceans and out on our own doing our own thing. We need to live with brethren and be with brethren in community and be with each other to learn this love for our neighbor, as next to love for Yahweh is the most basic kingdom principle there is. And without it, we will not be in the kingdom of Yahweh. When one brother or sister hurts, we all hurt. And when one is blessed, we're all blessed. We must let the Spirit of Yahweh grow in our lives to truly feel this way and have no animosity toward others for blessings they have that we don't have. We need to be willing from the heart to give everything we have, but only take what we need to have true love and peace in our camps. This is what the Spirit of Yahweh is all about. And the transformation from evil human nature to the mind of Messiah. Yahweh is love. That is his very character. That's what Yahweh is. And always thinks of what is best for everyone. He doesn't have a selfish thought ever. We need to grow and mature into the spirit of love that he only exhibits and that he actually is. I have seen this growth in the congregation over the last several years, but we need to fully mature to the love of Yahweh. We still have a ways to go. This is a big step in the baptism of fire. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.